Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Bigger Pockets Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Meyer, here wishing you a happy early tax day. Now, I know probably most of you are thinking you don't wish people a happy early tax day, but in the real estate investing industry, taxes are actually one of the benefits that we enjoy as real estate investors. So whether you've already filed for this year or you're just trying to get in that last minute return, we're going to be talking about taxes today and giving you some advice on how you can use your real estate investing portfolio to optimize your tax situation. To help us with this topic, we're going to bring on Brandon Hall. You may have heard him on the show before. He's been on this podcast many, many times to talk all things taxes as they relate to real estate investors. And Brandon is one of the best in the business. Today, we're going to talk to him about when you need a tax professional in the first place and when it's okay to do your taxes yourself. We'll discuss the benefits of real estate and how it can help lower your tax burden. And we're going to get some updates on bonus depreciation, which is one of the most coveted tax benefits that real estate investors enjoy. Now, in conjunction with this show and tax season, we also wanted to announce that Bigger Pockets has a brand new tax finder tool. This is a matching service. You may have used our lender finder or agent finder in the past, and this is pretty similar. It's a matching service where Bigger Pockets will connect you with an investor-friendly tax professional. These are tax pros and CPAs who truly understand what real estate investors need to be thinking about when it comes to their taxes and help you set a long-term strategy for your taxes. So if you want to get matched for free, visit biggerpockets.com/taxpro. That's biggerpockets.com/taxpro. All right, with that, let's bring on Brandon Hall. Brandon Hall, you are a veteran of the Bigger Pockets Podcast Network, but it's always great to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Dave. I appreciate it. Excited to be here.
Well, we're excited that you're here to talk about taxes. Now, many of our listeners are either first-time investors looking for their first deal or maybe have 1 to 3 properties. And taxes at that point may still be relatively simple. So do you think those types of investors can continue working with an online service like TurboTax? Or at what point do you recommend graduating, so to speak, to a tax professional?
That's a great question, and it's really tough to answer that question. So personally, I'm a big fan of learn how to do things yourself to a degree. If you buy one rental property, the risk of, you know, making a mistake on your tax returns, as long as you spend some time studying the law, reading some publications, and really stepping through it and understanding what you're recording on your tax returns, I think the risk is there to make a mistake, but it's not as large as if you bought like a 50-unit apartment building and you made a mistake there, right? So it kind of depends on the type of property that you're buying. If you're buying small duplexes, single-family homes, and you've got 1 or 2, I'm kind of in the camp that you should DIY it. And I've got 2 reasons for that. One, when you DIY it, assuming, again, that the risk profile is manageable. Okay. Cause if you've got 100-unit apartment complex or 5 partners or whatever, making a mistake is a lot more costly at that point. So you got to be careful. But I like DIY because you learn the ins and outs of how your taxes work, right? You learn about Schedule E, you learn about depreciation, you learn about cost basis, you learn how to book all the acquisition costs, you learn how to book rents and everything that goes into Schedule E. But then you also learn how it flows to Schedule 1. And how that gets offset with other income and losses on Schedule 1, and then how that ultimately flows to your 1040. Because the tax returns are just this like huge maze. You know, all the forms say, you've got the number here, now go put it over here. And now that it's here, go put it over here. So learning that maze, I think, is actually really beneficial for investors. So that's my first reason. My second reason is when new investors buy their first couple rentals, they look to offload taxes because taxes are overwhelming, understandably so. But the mistake that they make is they'll hire tax pros that will charge them like $800 for a tax return or something. And this isn't like to say that tax pros that do that are bad. There are great tax pros that charge $800 for tax returns and $1,000 for tax returns. But the reality is that if you think about the economics of tax preparation, the preparer has to make enough money to eat. Now, if you were in business yourself, how much money would you want to make to justify being in business yourself? All the additional administrative headaches, all the people management, the risk that you're taking on, you probably want to make at least $150,000 to $200,000, right? So if somebody's going to charge you $800 or $1,000 for your tax return, how many tax returns do they need to prepare to get to their number of net income that they need? And this is net income, right? So this is after expenses. So we're probably talking to clear 200 as a solo tax preparer, maybe 300K in total revenue. So how many tax returns to get to 300K total revenue? And then what does that mean for you specifically as their client in terms of client experience and in terms of quality output? Because tax prep is condensed, right? We have 9 months essentially to prepare or to do 12 months worth of work. So it's very condensed. It's around deadlines. Things happen very quickly between April 1st and April 15th, and mistakes get made, especially when there's more volume. So because of those two things, if I've just bought my first or second rental, I'm probably of the mind that you should DIY it. Now, you know your own skill set, you know your attention to detail levels. So if that's just like way beyond you, then for sure offload it. But there's a lot of sophisticated people that are highly analytical that are buying rentals. And I think that those folks, you can try to DIY it. There's no harm in trying.
That's really good advice. And two points that I've never heard before, but it's sort of similar to house hacking or doing self-management as a landlord, because you learn how to do it yourself. And that doesn't mean you have to do it yourself forever. But then when you go to hire a tax pro, or using my analogy, you go to hire a property manager, you at least know what to look for, because you've done this before and you know the intricacies of what's involved and some of the pitfalls. So that's great advice. That being said, when you started talking about Schedule Z and all that stuff, I was like, thank God I have a tax professional, because I am a highly analytical person. And to be honest, I have no interest in doing it myself.
But here's a question for you. How do you know if they're doing a good job?
Honestly, that's a great question. I don't really. I just guess I've been outsourcing it long enough for 14 years now.
Sure.
That I've fired two and now know that my third is better than the first two.
Yeah. And this is a question that I think about a lot. I mean, we have attorneys that we work with, right? And I'm always like, I have no idea if my attorney's doing a good job or a bad job. And unfortunately, you don't find out until it's too late. So it's just one of those things with professional services. And that's why I say, like, if you can DIY, especially if you're on the smaller scale, as you grow and as you do move to that outsourcing of just saving time and it is getting too complex, you'll be able to have more sophisticated conversations. You'll be able to kind of fact check. It's really difficult to fact check if you don't have any experience like doing the thing that you're outsourcing. That's just how I kind of believe in running my own business as well, much to the chagrin of some other folks that I work with that are all about the who, not how. The who should we hire to outsource this rather than how do we get it done? So yeah.
But it totally makes sense. You need to sort of get to a baseline understanding of any topic before you can start critically evaluating whether or not someone is good at something. That's probably true of, you know, a lot of different professional services and different vendors that you need to work with as a real estate investor.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate this non-biased perspective, because I'm sure as a tax professional, you could just say that everyone should use them. So thank you for sharing your opinion on when people should DIY it. But obviously, you believe in tax professionals. So tell us when people should consider using a tax professional.
So there's two reasons to use a tax professional. One is to get high quality compliance work completed on an ongoing basis. So basically tax preparation, right? And the second reason is to get some strategic planning done. I think that if you have the ability to scale fast, meaning that I have access to a large amount of capital, even if I purchased no rentals yet, but my plan over the next 12 months is to blow my portfolio up, I think that you should get strategic planning done from a tax professional 100%. Should you get your returns done? Depends on what else you have going on, but until you actually buy some rental properties, you probably, again, find DIYing it. But at least from the strategic planning perspective, educating yourself on the fundamentals of tax, might change how you acquire properties. And it will definitely change how you sell properties later on. So any sort of like planning there that like it's really good to work with a tax pro who can sit down with you and understand your goals, where you're trying to go over what period of time, and then help you understand what types of assets to buy and why. So that piece is important. But back to the compliance piece, when should you, I mean, there's no bright line test. The way that I talk to people that are interviewing our firm is, how big of a pain point is this for you? You just used the person charging you $1,000 and you said that you found a couple mistakes, but $1,000 is relatively inexpensive for what you've got going on, Mr. Prospect or Mrs. Prospect. So are you sure you're ready to make the switch? Like, why would you want to make that switch today? And I think that just evaluating that yourself, like with some self-reflection, is important. Typically it's peace of mind. I just want to make sure that it's being done right. And then it's also just saving me time. I don't have to worry about preparing my taxes myself or reviewing my taxes, like on April 15th when everything's crazy. So if you're kind of at the point where it's just, it's over your head and you're feeling uncomfortable, I would say that's the time to offload your taxes. And then then the next question is just, how much do you need to be part of that process? And that depends on the quality level probably that you're going to get.
All right. Now that Brandon has walked us through the basics, let's get into the benefits. Brandon talks about how investors can set their portfolios up for the best tax advantages in the long run, plus the latest on bonus depreciation right after the break.
Spring is here, and you know what that means. Fresh flowers, fresh air, fresh starts. So why not take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security? SimpliSafe protects my home during the busy spring season when I'm out leveling up my portfolio. But you know why I really love SimpliSafe? Because it's very easy to install. As a matter of fact, I set up my entire system, my personal home, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in less than 30 minutes. They've got a super simple app, as whenever we're on vacation, we have friends come by the house to water the plants, check on the house, whatever it is. We're able to turn off our alarm right before our friends get to the house and turn it on right after they leave instantly. SimpliSafe offers a wide variety of high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods. They've got indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day, and I challenge you to figure out what you can buy for less than $1 a day. And with the 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and we want you to have it too. So, go get 20% off of your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. That's simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today. Real estate investing is great, but for some, the tenant phone calls and clogged toilets aren't all that attractive. So how do you invest in real estate without getting your hands dirty? Invest for truly passive income with Pine Financial Group. Pine's mortgage fund offers a targeted 8% preferred return and an attractive profit split, with 70% of net profits going to the investors. You'll earn passive income by participating in lending to house flippers. And it's secure because senior lien holders, that's you, are first in line to get paid. Their rigorous underwriting process and the backing of a physical asset mitigate downside risk. Plus, by investing with Pine Financial Group, you contribute to the revitalization of communities by directing your funds from Wall Street to Main Street and supporting local economies. The investment is reserved for accredited investors. Take control of your investments and secure more passive income today. Visit pinefinancialgroup.com/biggerpockets to learn more about the fund. That's pinefinancialgroup.com/biggerpockets.
Welcome back to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. I'm here with tax professional Brandon Hall. Let's pick up where we left off. I know for myself, the time that it really started making sense to have a good quality CPA and to invest in it was that ongoing tax strategy. Because as a real estate investor, there is so much to tax strategy that I think people who invest in the stock market or don't invest much don't really understand. With real estate, there's just so many different avenues you can go, so many different things that you can do. Can you tell us, Brandon, a little bit more about why real estate investors have so much opportunity to think strategically in terms of tax planning and preparation?
Yeah, well, I mean, the simple answer is that real estate is, in my opinion, the most tax advantageous asset class. So you want to make sure that you're fully optimized per your situation when you're buying rental real estate, right? If I buy rental real estate, I'm going to create net operating income that is ideally tax deferred. I'm also going to create tax losses that ideally I can claim. And learning how to structure that is very important for that optimization. And so a lot of the planning that we do will be around repairs versus improvements. When should you make those repairs and improvements? Do you do it year one? Do you do it before you place it in the service? Do you do it year two or year three? There's different considerations there. So if you're somebody that's like, I'm going to be a value-add investor, well, you could just go buy property and just start the value add process immediately. Or when, once you talk to a tax professional, you might change your tune a little bit if you're trying to optimize under taxes as well. It just kind of depends on your situation. There's differences between buying a single family home and a 4-unit property and a 20-unit property. There's differences between a long-term rental and a short-term rental. The passive activity loss rules you have to educate yourself on or get some strategic planning around. So the challenge is, I'm going to buy rental real estate. I want to build wealth, ideally over the long term. That's another big like planning point that we have with our clients. Everybody wants a tax refund today, but what we like to help our clients understand is, yeah, but if you keep doing this thing over 20 years, you won't have to jump through all these hoops. You'll just have the portfolio that offsets itself. And now you're rich dad, poor dad on steroids, right? So it's just helping people understand everything that's available to them. And then also, what should they actually do? I can't tell you how many times we get people that come to me and they're like, hey, my newborn baby, I want to pay them $13,000 because I just saw on TikTok that like I could make them a model, right? And so part of what we do is we're like, well, you could do that, but you're also now at risk for audit. It's unlikely that you would be able to substantiate paying a baby $13,000 for modeling for your rental properties because your tenants don't care. So you would be at risk of losing the audit. And the question is just, is all that worth the hassle? Or should we just kind of get the tax optimization on autopilot? And those are considerations too. So it's just, it's a huge, huge task to navigate every aspect of this, but it's really important to work with professionals who aren't necessarily sitting there telling you, we're going to get you every dollar back. They're balancing, we're going to get you as much as we can with how much time does this take and how much risk are you taking on in terms of that audit piece?
That's a fantastic point of view, Brandon, because I do think, and I see people saying like, I want to minimize taxes today. But often, at least in my limited experience, you see that if you develop sort of a longer term portfolio level approach where you're not just thinking about like, how do I maximize this one property, but how are all of my properties, how's my W-2 income, how are all these different components of my income working together to create the most tax advantaged and risk free solution for yourself. Now, I imagine for people listening to this who still work a W-2 job, they might not fully understand some of the things that you can do with real estate to offset your income or to create a better tax situation for yourself. So can you tell us just a couple of the common approaches real estate investors use?
Yeah. So the first thing to understand is that depreciation, which we've talked about before on some prior episodes, it's a non-cash expense, and you get to claim that every single year. So depreciation is a calculation based on the purchase price less the cost of land divided by 27 and a half years. So I get to claim that expense every single year. It's called a non-cash expense because I pay for all this up front. So that annual expense that I get to claim per that calculation, it doesn't change if I buy the property all cash, if I finance the property 100%, if I've got 70% debt, 30% equity, it doesn't change. So the depreciation expense is the same every single year. So if I have if I have $10,000 in rent and $8,000 in expenses, I've got $2,000 in net operating income. But if my depreciation expense is $3K, I get to tell the IRS I have a $1,000 tax loss. So I get to tell the IRS I lost money, even though I made money. And that's the beauty of depreciation. It shelters our cash flow today. So that's one thing. The second thing, though, is that extra $1,000 tax loss. What do we do with that? And the answer is we have to understand the passive activity loss rules. And that's when we get into like pretty sophisticated strategic planning, because there's real estate professional status, there's material participation, there's short-term rentals, there's self-rentals, there's I'm a physician and I'm renting to my own condo, and how do I group all that in? So that can get pretty gnarly pretty fast. But the third thing that I see investors not do, which I wish that they did more of, is something called partial asset dispositions. So if you buy, let's just say you buy a $100,000 single family home. And I don't know where you would be able to do that these days, but a $100,000 single family home, whether or not you get a cost segregation study, which is the act of like identifying all the components inside the property and assigning value to them. Even if you don't do that, it's true that like the roof still has value. So $100,000 property, the roof might have $7,000 in value. If I replace the roof 2 or 3 years later, and I don't write off the cost of the roof that no longer exists, now I'm depreciating two roofs, basically, right? Even though I only have one roof. So I bought the house, 100K. The roof that was there had 7K of value assigned to it. I replace it 2 or 3 years later with a new roof, but this old roof doesn't exist anymore. So if I don't write off that remaining cost, now I'm depreciating two roofs, essentially. So a partial asset disposition is the practice of writing off the cost of the asset that you literally ripped out of the home that no longer exists. Very few people are doing that. Very few investors are doing that.
Can I just summarize that to make sure I understand this? Because I've never heard of this. So clearly I'm not doing it.
It's great for anybody that's rehabbing.
So the way depreciation works is like over time, I think it's specifically 27 and a half years for residential real estate, that the value of your property is going down. And so you can depreciate 1/27 and a half of the value of your structure every single year. And that includes stuff. And there's also, you could depreciate your roof, like the example that you gave. But if you replace that roof before those 27 and a half years, that basically means that you have this opportunity to write it off because you haven't fully depreciated it. Is that right?
Yeah. So let's make it really simple. Let's say that the roof was worth $27,000. And you're depreciating $27,000 over 27 and a half years. We'll just call it 27 to make it simple. So $1,000 a year. So after 2 years, your roof is worth $25,000. But then you're putting a new roof on for maybe $30,000, right? So if you don't write off the cost, that $25,000 of roof that no longer exists, if you don't write that off, then your balance sheet now shows 25K of old roof plus 30K of new roof. So really, you're depreciating 55K of total roof, even though you only have 30K of roof on your property. So the idea with a partial asset disposition is to recognize that discrepancy and say, hey, that roof doesn't exist anymore. We removed it. Therefore, the value assigned to it should also be removed. And when you remove it, it's an immediate write-off. And whenever you go to sell the property later, you don't have depreciation recapture because the asset doesn't exist. So you get to optimize two times.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Because I can imagine that people listening are thinking, oh, wouldn't I want to depreciate two roofs because that would offset the maximum amount of income? But I'm guessing that most times that would be, you know, using this example, it might be more than your cash flow or your income in a given year.
Yeah.
But also to your point, depreciation is just a tax deferral. It is not an elimination of the tax. So you would have to recapture that at sale. And that would basically just mean that your tax burden upon sale would go up if you don't do this write-off.
Correct. You still get the benefit via depreciation up until that point. But yeah, you would have to pay that benefit back via depreciation recapture. So that's why it's such a nice tool, because you're literally removing that asset from the books.
Got it. Okay. That is super helpful.
Yeah. And this, by the way, is like where that we were asking earlier, you were asking earlier about when should somebody hire a CPA? Well, if you're doing any sort of major rehab, and you got to really, you got to think about this, right? Because if I've got a $100,000 property and I replace one roof for $7K, I don't think that's worth like a strategic conversation with your CPA. But if I'm doing that 10 times a year or to the scale of 10X, then that becomes some real money that I'm potentially leaving on the table, right? So you have to judge it. But these are the little nuances that a strategic tax strategist or just any sort of tax planner, CPA, EA, or regular tax pro will be able to help you navigate. So these rules are all in the 2013 tangible property regulations. That's also where you get that $2,500 de minimis safe harbor, the Betterment adaptation restoration test, which are another beautiful thing to explore. So
you're just saying things. I don't even know if these are real words that you're saying.
I am actually just making it all up and hoping nobody fact checks. I'm just kidding. Yeah, but no, these are all the things that like we know as tax pros, and we don't expect clients to know. But if you're DIYing it, you're probably going to miss these things. If you're using inexpensive tax preparers, you're probably going to miss these things because again, it's a volume shop. They have less time to spend optimizing.
Okay, we have to take one more short break, but we've got Brandon's tips you can use as an investor today, right after this.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Take a second and imagine this. Immediate cash flow, above average rent, built-in equity, and a foolproof exit plan. No, it's not 2012 again. This is just what it's like to invest with Integra Development Group. They've simplified the real estate investing process so everyone can invest. With their new construction single-family rent-to-own homes, you'll get aggressively priced, brand-new properties that have tenants in place now in one of the fastest-growing states in America, Florida. Here's how IDG's rent-to-own strategy works. You get exclusive access to inventory with aggressive pricing thanks to IDG's builder-partner relationships. Then, invest and collect immediate cash flow with tenants already in place at or very close to closing. With the demand for new builds, your tenants pay above-market rent, so you rake in more cash flow. And you'll get built-in equity and appreciation with an already agreed-to purchase price at year 3, helping the tenants become homeowners while you build wealth. That's investing simplified. So secure your next investment property today with Integra Development Group at IntegraDG.com. That's IntegraDG.com to start investing today. Want to dive deep into commercial real estate, entrepreneurship, leadership, and the economy? Tune into the Walker Webcast, hosted by the CEO of Walker & Dunlop, one of the largest commercial real estate finance and advisory services firms in the nation. As an unparalleled leader in commercial real estate, CEO Willie Walker frequently appears as an expert on major platforms like CNBC and the New York Times. He's even been on the Bigger Pockets podcast network, too. On the Walker Webcast, you'll hear from guests like A-Rod, renowned economist Dr. Peter Linneman, and experts from Walker & Dunlop's capital markets, research, and investment sales groups. So fire up the Walker Webcast on your favorite podcast app or join live on Wednesdays to see Willie interact with his guests. Plus, you can always catch the replay on demand afterward. Stay ahead of the curve with insights for life from the Walker Webcast. Learn more and subscribe to the Walker Webcast at walkerdunlop.com. walkerdunlop.com/pockets. And be sure to follow Walker and Dunlop on all your favorite social media channels too. That's walkerdunlop.com/pockets. We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, investors. Let's jump back in. All right. While we're on the topic of depreciation, I want to talk a little bit about bonus depreciation. And we actually had you on a episode recently where we talked all about this. It's a fascinating conversation. And to everyone listening, yes, tax conversations can be fascinating. I challenge you to go listen to this episode. We will put a link to it in the show notes. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but we'll put a link in the show notes to go listen to it. But can you just give us a real brief rundown of what bonus depreciation is and why it's been in the news the last couple months?
Sure. So let's go back to that 100K example. So I buy a property for 100K. Let's say land is worth $10,000. So the improvements are worth $90,000. Now, we just kind of talked about how depreciation is calculated. $90,000 divided by 27 and a half years gives me my annual expense that I get to claim. That's called straight line depreciation. But there's a concept called bonus depreciation. And bonus depreciation allows you to expense to a much higher degree any component with a useful life of less than 20 years. So if I buy a property and I do a cost segregation study, a cost segregation study is the practice of saying, hey, you got 90K of building of improvements, but the reality is that your building is made up of a lot of components, right? It's not just structure. There's windows, there's carpeting, there's appliances, there's fixtures, there's all these things that go into the building. So a cost segregation study is the practice of identifying all of those components and assigning value to them. After a cost segregation study, you will have components with a useful life of 5 years, 7 years, 15 years, and also that building, whatever's left in that bucket of 27 and a half years. So bonus depreciation enables you to expense everything identified in a cost study that's 5, 7, and 15 year property. And on single family homes, that could be 15% of the purchase price. Multifamily homes, like 25-30% of the purchase price. So the point is that you can allocate a lot of value to bonus eligible property. So prior to 2023, bonus depreciation is 100%. Meaning that if I bought a $1 million multifamily home, I could probably, via a cost segregation study, allocate 250 to 300K of value to components with 5, 7, and 15 year lives. And then I could immediately expense that 250 to 300K. So the first year that I buy this multifamily property, I'm getting a $250,000 to $300,000 tax deduction. And that's amazing, right? Starting in 2023, it's 80%. 2024, 60%. 2025, 40%. And then it just keeps going down 20% until it phases out to zero. The reason that it's all been in the news recently is there's a bill going through Congress. It has passed the House. It's currently stuck in the Senate still. We were hoping that we would have a yes or a no by this point because we're sitting on a ton of tax returns. I would recommend not filing your return until we get some sort of clarity on this, especially if you've bought property and you've placed it into service and you're going to use bonus depreciation, because this bill will make the 80% in 2023, it'll make it 100%. So it's retroactive to 2023, bumps it from 80 to 100%. It's 100% 2024. And I believe it's also 100% in 2025. And the phase out starts in 2026. So 2026 would be 80%, 27 would be 60%, and so on and so forth until it phases down to zero. That's currently sitting in the Senate. And it's stuck in the Senate's been on recess a couple times, and they keep saying they're going to look at it and then not look at it. And there's some infighting. It's a very popular bill, though. So there's pressure to get something done. But at this point, we have no idea when it's going to get done. And that leaves all these tax returns in limbo because, you know, if you file your return with 80% and then they pass this and make it 100% bonus appreciation retroactively, you've just lost out on some value. So what are you going to do? You're going to go and amend your tax return. It's extra compliance costs, extra hassle. So it's just kind of a nightmare.
So it sounds like you're recommending to your clients to file for an extension.
Yeah. Yeah. All of our partnership clients that are like syndicating deals or running funds, it's extending everything. All of our individual clients and business clients that have bought property in 2023 and placed it into service, we're recommending that they extend as well until we get clarity on, is 2023 going to be 80% bonus depreciation or 100% bonus depreciation? Because it makes a huge difference.
Well, that's some great tactical advice here for anyone who's listening, hasn't yet filed their returns and plans to use some sort of bonus depreciation. You may want to file an extension and wait and see what happens with this bill. Brandon, do you have any other last thoughts on tactics that people can use here for their 2023 returns?
My last thought is there are typically two areas where taxpayers, landlords, real estate investors take on risk that I don't think they're fully aware of. And I just want to make everybody aware of these risks. So if you've heard of qualifying as a real estate professional, or if you've heard of the short-term rental loophole, what happens with these two strategies are amazing strategies. Okay. They're totally legit and they can save you a ton of money in taxes. But the problem is when we get into like groups of other real estate investors, we tend to get groupthink. We tend to get some FOMO. We hear one person's Bob's doing it, so I want to do it too. You know, but your situation might not actually be able to support whatever Bob's doing. We see a lot of people claiming real estate professional status when they cannot possibly qualify. We also see people claiming the short-term rental loophole when they haven't rented their short-term rentals out at all. So there's no way to even prove that it's a short-term rental because it hasn't been rented. The people doing those two things are taking on a substantial amount of risk. If you qualify as a real estate professional, or if you can do the short-term rental loophole, then you can use large tax losses to offset your regular income. That's why it's attractive, right? I could go buy a $1 million property, do the cost segregation study, get the bonus depreciation. And that $1 million property in the year of acquisition could very easily give me a $250,000 tax loss that I could use to offset my CPA firm income. But I have to make sure that I really understand the passive activity loss rules. And I have to make sure that I'm working with a pro, a CPA, EA, tax pro, that isn't going to just tell me what I want to hear. And that's the biggest risk, is that I'll go to my CPA and say, well, I want to be a real estate professional. And if you can't do that, I don't want to work with you. And man, that is the wrong approach with this type of stuff. You have to lean on their professional guidance. I mean, they need to know what they're talking about too, but you really need to lean on the professional guidance there, because we've seen a lot of situations where you know, people claim real estate professional status and they're working full-time jobs. There's no way you can substantiate that. They're claiming short-term rental loophole and they haven't materially participated. They haven't rented the property out. You get audited for this stuff, and these audits happen a lot. We get called in on these audits relatively frequently at this point. It's a losing battle. You're immediately kind of going to the table and figuring out how can you settle with the IRS rather than be able to substantiate your position. So just be careful. Just be careful. It's very tempting, especially if you're using tax software. You know, it's checking a box in a lot of cases, and then your refund goes from, you know, owing $5,000 to $40,000, and that's a very tempting thing to just say, yeah, this sounds right. But you got to understand the rules, and you got to understand the risks.
That's super helpful, and I do think that it's important to call out some of the risks of being aggressive with some of these strategies. If you're not familiar with real estate professional status and the loophole, let me just try and summarize here. Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically all the stuff we've been talking about here with depreciation, what you can use that to write off your income from passive investments, like your rental property. So you have a passive loss for your passive income.
Yes.
But for ordinary people, you cannot take the losses from your rental property and apply it to your ordinary income. So we can use me as an example because I still work full time. I am not a real estate professional, even though I work in tangentially in the real estate industry, because I don't meet the very specific qualifications that the IRS has outlined for what a quote unquote real estate professional is, I cannot take the depreciation from my rental properties and apply them to my salary here at Bigger Pockets. I wish I could, but I can't. That is just not possible. The short-term rental quote unquote loophole is a loophole because it is one way that you can apply some passive losses for short-term rentals that are operated in a very specific way, as Brandon said, that you can take, that you can apply some passive losses to active income. But again, it's got to be super specific. So, Brandon, how'd I do there?
You did a phenomenal job. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you. That was great. And just to put some numbers to it again, like let's say that I buy $1 million beach home, and the rents are 180K, the operating expenses are 100K, my net operating income is $80,000. But then I do a cost segregation study, and bonus depreciation gives me depreciation expense of $280,000. My net loss, my tax loss, even though I made 80K, my tax loss that I get to report is $200,000. And so that's a negative 200K that I get to claim, hopefully, against my regular income if I'm materially participating in that short-term rental, or if I'm a real estate professional and I'm buying like multifamily property or something like that. So it's very attractive and it's very appealing, but there are very specific quantitative and qualitative tests that you have to adhere to. And that's where the whole, is it worth the hassle thing comes in? And do you understand the risks that you're taking on? This stuff is heavily litigated. So it's not something that I would ever just kind of do haphazardly. But yeah, it's important to get it right. But if you can get it right, man, you can save a lot of money in taxes. You can be fully optimized. Or what some of our clients do is they're just like, hey, I want to be in this game for 15 years. Can you help me reduce my effective tax rate by 5 points over 10 to 15 years? It's like, yeah, we could definitely do that. And then it's just strategically, how do you add passive income and utilize your passive losses created from these rental properties?
Got it. Well, that's phenomenal advice, Brandon. I think that you've got the right idea there. Just thinking long term, not trying to do anything that is not legal or unethical or anything like that. But there are perfectly legal, great ways to reduce your tax liabilities by working with a tax professional. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us as always. You somehow make taxes very interesting and helpful. And as a real estate investor, I really appreciate it because there is so much to learn and it is such an enormous benefit to your portfolio to do it right.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate having me on. If I keep coming back, one day you're going to be teaching me. That was a really good, really good real estate professional status short-term rental explanation that you have.
Thank you. I always just say that taxes is like the weakest part of my real estate game, but I think I've interviewed you like 3 or 4 times now, yeah. So slowly I'm learning.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. And I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks again to Brandon for joining us and sharing all of his extensive knowledge about taxes and real estate with us. If you are looking for a tax professional to help you with your portfolio, don't forget to go to biggerpockets.com/taxpro. It's a completely free tool to match you with tax pros who understand real estate, who understand real estate investing, and can help you set the long-term strategy that Brandon was talking about. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm Dave Meyer, and I'll see you all again soon.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
BiggerPockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.